Part 1. The unusual events described in this chronicle occurred in 1940-something at Oran. Everyone agreed that considering their somewhat extraordinary character, they were out of place there. For its ordinariness is what strikes one first about the town of Oran, which is merely a large French port on the Algerian coast, headquarters of the prefect of a French department. The town itself, let's admit, is ugly. It has a smug, placid air, and you need time to discover what it is that makes it different from so many business centers in other parts of the world. How to conjure up a picture, for instance, of a town without pigeons, without any trees or gardens, where you never hear the beat of wings or the rustle of leaves. A thoroughly negative place, in short. The seasons are discriminated only in the sky. All that tells you of spring's coming is the feel of the air, or the baskets of flowers brought in from the suburbs by peddlers. It's a spring cried in the marketplaces. During the summer, the sun bakes the houses bone dry, sprinkles our walls with grayish dust, and you have no option but to survive those days of fire indoors, behind closed shutters. In autumn, on the other hand, we have deluges of mud. Only winter brings really pleasant weather. Perhaps the easiest way of making a town's acquaintance is to ascertain how the people in it work, how they love, and how they die. In our little town, is this, one wonders, an effect of the climate? All three are done on much the same lines, with the same feverish yet casual air. The truth is that everyone is bored and devotes himself to cultivating habits. Our citizens work hard, but solely with the object of getting rich. Their chief interest is in commerce, and their chief aim in life is, as they call it, doing business. Naturally, they don't eschew such simpler pleasures as lovemaking, sea bathing, going to the pictures. But very sensibly, they reserve these pastimes for Saturday afternoons and Sundays and employ the rest of the week in making money, as much as possible. In the evening, on leaving the office, they foregather at an hour that never varies in the cafes, stroll the same boulevard, or take the air on their balconies. The passions of the young are violent and short-lived. The vices of older men seldom range beyond an addiction to bowling, to banquets and socials, or clubs where large sums change hands on the fall of a card. It'll be said, no doubt, that these habits are not peculiar to our town. Really, all our contemporaries are much the same. Certainly, nothing is commoner nowadays than to see people working from morn till night and then proceeding to fritter away at card tables, in cafes, and in small talk, what time is left for living. Nevertheless, there still exist towns and countries where people have now and then an inkling of something different. In general, it doesn't change their lives. Still, they have had an intimation, and that's so much to the good. Oran, however, seems to be a town without intimations. In other words, completely modern. Hence, I see no need to dwell on the manner of loving in our town. The men and women consume one another rapidly in what is called the act of love, or else settle down to a mild habit of conjugality. We seldom find a mean between these extremes. That, too, is not exceptional. At Oran, as elsewhere, for lack of time and thinking, people have to love one another without knowing much about it. What is more exceptional in our town is the difficulty one may experience there in dying. Difficulty, perhaps, isn't the right word. Discomfort would come nearer. Being ill is never agreeable, but there are towns that stand by you, so to speak, when you're sick, in which you can, after a fashion, let yourself go. An invalid needs small attentions. He likes to have something to rely on, and that's natural enough. But at Oran, the violent extremes of temperature